Okay, we'll have to live with the voice without the face, that's all. Somebody's crackling quite badly. I don't know if that's... Oh, okay. Well, everyone's muted, so it should be a problem. The Seder. Yeah, the problem with betochen, we mentioned this many times, is that very often a person's in a situation, you have an isayon, and you're caught off guard, and you suddenly look around, you suddenly realize, I don't have any betochen. I'm dealing with this problem, with this situation, like somebody has no betochen bichlal. And then you think intellectually about it, and you recognize that, well, actually, I do have betochen, I do understand, I do believe, I do know what's going on. Aval, the body has its own sort of energy, and it kind of takes over. And it takes a lot of practice and a lot of thought and a lot of delay in reacting to allow the betochen to deal with the situation. Now, that's some of the stuff that I've been just through a couple of nishaynas. Everybody has nishaynas. It's just sometimes they become acute, and then you suddenly realize, like, you know, betochen ktat chalash po. And it's not because of betochen's chalash. It's because there's a disconnect between the seichel and the emotions. And the emotions take over and start overriding the system. So I'm not sure what the cure for that is. Not sure what the work for that is. But that's why we're here. We're here to work and to learn and to try and see how we grapple with situations that are beyond our bechira. So Pinkus used to put it, somebody quoted it again for me today. He heard it from Rabbi Zuchale Wallenstein. The Rav Pinkus used to say, Bechira, and ultimately Betochen, is how you deal with situations that are beyond your Bechira. The situations we deal with and we challenged with in Betochen are situations that are beyond our Bechira. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the Kol Bidei Shemaim Chutz Mi Yirei Shemaim. So when situations come out that are beyond your control and beyond your Betochen, the question is, how do you use Bechira? Sorry, beyond your Bechira, not beyond your Betochen, beyond your Bechira, how do you use your Bechira to deal with a problem that's got nothing to do with your Bechira? The situation, you don't have any choice. Most of the problems we have today are not our own choice. They're problems that Hashem's testing you with, and they're perfectly designed and managed for exactly what you need. Then the question is how do I use my Bechira to respond to those challenges? And that's where Betochen becomes incredibly important. Because if I have Betochen, I know this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the best thing for me. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of me, and I have to do what I have to do. Well, at the end of the day, Zelo Kashua Lai, and I can be relaxed. Yeshuva Das, Mechus HaNefesh. But when you get a situation, I had a situation tonight where something which is out of my control, but I wanted to be in my control. I want to be able to control the situation because I need a certain outcome, but it's not in my control. But I went into a situation that was out of my control, nothing to do with my Bechira. And it was exactly not what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be something else. And I got atzpani and I got upset and I was mamish, very aggravated because of it. So now I'm quite glad that happened because I was able to step back and say, one second, that's not how Baal Betochen deals with the situation. Baal Betochen deals with the situation where, you know, the situation isn't what I want. And lechoyer, it's not a good situation. It's not good. The situation has to be different. But the problem is that Kodesh Baruch Hu designed that situation. And he could have made it different if he wanted. The people that did what they did or didn't do what they were supposed to do, they're not the problem. The problem is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that's what I was able to chap. The guy you upset with, the guy you angry with because he didn't do what he was supposed to do and therefore left you with a situation that's not what you need or what you want is because you think you're dealing with people. You don't remember that you're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yankel that said he would do something and he didn't do it, or Yankel said he wouldn't do something and he did do it, or whatever the situation is, no matter how guru it might be. But you have to recognize and remind yourself and train yourself. This is where the work is, to know that this is not Yankel. Your problem's not with Yankel. If you want to get upset and aggravated and shout at somebody, go to Hashem, because he's the guy that's running the show here. And that's the Nimamin Bebuna Shleima, Shaboyus Bokshmahu, Bairu Manig Lakula Bruim, Hulavada Oso Isakalamasim. I walked out of the room and I was driving back tonight. And I realized, like, I was trying to work out what happened. Like, how did I lose it? You know, why was I so aggravated? Why was I so upset? I like was not much like, well, I was angry. And I realized because I forgot the first of the animamins. Had I gently reminded myself a few times of the first Anima Amins. I'm not saying I would have been, the bird at Shiva and been very sweet and nice to the people, but I certainly wouldn't have got so aggravated and uptight. So I think that's the avoided. The avoided is sometimes you don't catch yourself in the moment, but afterwards you have to step back and say, okay, so where was the fault line here? So I think for me that was a very good experience. And the Yetzer HaMamash had me fully engaged in exactly the opposite of what I was supposed to be doing. Exactly the opposite. It was a very friendly, good wake-up call. That's why I'm at Hashem. We, like Rav Dessler says, the Tochen requires constant chizuk. You have to continue to remind yourself, continually say psukim of the Tochen. You have to continually be working it. You have to be immersed in it. Because otherwise you get a curved ball and you're just like, woof. Not even if someone would have seen me, they would have said, wow, this guy obviously has never heard of Chovas Levavos. I mean, should introduce him to Shara Betochen, you know, you should tell him that there's a thing called Betochen, you know, because it was just like, it was ridiculous. So that's why we have to learn and we have to keep reminding ourselves that it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, yeah, there's no one, you don't have any dealings with anybody else, you're dealing with Hashem. And however ugly and unpleasant what Hashem is doing is, you have to talk to him and daven to him and ask him to help. And you see, when you do, then things kind of unravel properly. Anyway, we were dealing with a heavy sugya last week. We'd seen the fifth reason why the Torah doesn't describe schar and oinish in the world to come. We're dealing with that chalek of betochen as relates to Olam Haba. And right at the beginning, the Chovas HaLevavos discussed the reasons why the Torah doesn't mention Olam Haba. So we saw a few reasons. Some are because we're not ready. Some because we don't have the lexicon. We don't understand. We don't like in the Shema that a goof. We spoke about a whole lot of different things. We spoke about the fact that your reward in Olam Haba is not because of your schiot, it's because of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's chesed, whatever. A lot of difficulties we saw there. So that was the fifth reason. And now we're going to discuss the sixth reason that he brings. Why the Torah doesn't discuss matters of Olam Haba. By the way, Rav Avigdor Miller has a Moed Dika Sefer. We brought it after the Petira, a collection of all his shirim, not about all his shirim, but a lot of his shirim on Olam Haba. Rav Avigdor Miller on Olam Haba. It's a big eye opener because we generally don't focus too much on it. We generally don't focus too much on Olam Haba. We're very busy with this world. We forget that, you know, there's a thing called Olam Haba, and that's why we're here ultimately. This is not the destination. This is a means to an end, and we often forget, we lose sight of the end. Somebody gave me a present at Sefer. It was a big eye-opener. Just to be constantly reminded that there's a thing called Olam Haba, there's a thing called Gehenna. We don't talk about those things. Mainly because we don't know what they are. And second, because we're too busy running around just dealing with this world, that we forget sometimes that we're on the verge of going to Olam Haba, and we need to try and find out what it is. So it's a very, very worthwhile read, that book. Amazing. Amazing Sefer. Okay. So another one of the reasons, so you'll say this is the sixth reason we're going to deal with. Umahem, ki'agmul va'oinesh haniskorim b'sefer, the reward and punishment that we see discussed in Chumash, or in b'sefer. B'sefer, I mean, I think it means Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, but it could mean the rest of Tanakh as well, I don't know. You'll see Divrei Hanami b'gmulo ilam hazeh v'ein shel anshei ha'olam. The Novi in each generation, I assume he's talking about, unless he's referring specifically to Moshe, I don't know, spoke about reward and punishment in this world. Because people, who was he talking to? He was talking to people who live in this world. That's why when he spoke about reward and punishment, he used this worldly terms. You can't talk to somebody about a world he doesn't live in. A person lives in this world. You have to use things in this world that he can understand. Start talking about Mars and whatever, because he doesn't understand what that is. So the Navi uses this worldly terminology in order to discuss Olam Haba. Didn't we see this? It rings a bell. Yeshua ben Yitzhak was so disconnected from this worldly things that he existed in a ruchnistic world of Malachim. He lived in a very high, elevated spiritual world. Hashem tells him in the Novin Zechariah, Hashem tells him, he uses Olam Abadika terms, and he says to him, if you'll go in my ways, if you'll safeguard my watch, I will grant you strides amongst those who stand here, ha'oimdim. The oimdim always refers to the Malachim. It means he was telling him there's a schar for you here in Olam Abadika terms. Because that's the way to encourage somebody or to make him afraid. That's how you machazak somebody. Chizuk, it comes in two ways. Chizuk, you give the person chizuk by lifting him up, and you also make him afraid of the consequences, that he won't do things wrong because he's using his yira correctly. And it has to be appropriate to the person. It has to be appropriate to the person it has to be appropriate to the person in his particular situation at the time. You can't talk to people in this world about Olam Haba. You're going to Manhattan into the stock exchange there on Wall Street. You start telling people about Olam Haba. They wonder what you're talking about. The Lord Matim Lehem. You look at the Chofetz Chaim's Mesholim, for example. It always astounds me. The Chofetz Chaim's Mesholim are all about like posh, simple business stuff. What was the Chofetz Chaim was living in? Was talking to holy people. He was talking to wagon drivers and farmers, and so he used Mesholim for Olam Haba, for Torah, in things that they could understand and grasp. It's no good speaking above people. You want to tell somebody who knows about horses, so you're going to start telling him all about the Zohar and all about this, and there's Malachim and Srofim and. No points of reference. You have to use Mesholim that touch him, that relate to him. And we know that for ourselves. Mesholim that have nothing to do with you don't touch you. When the Moshel has something to do with your reality, with your world, with your points of reference, so then the Moshel touches you. You have to choose. You have to know who your audience is, and you have to know how to use the correct stories that will relate to them. I'm going back years ago. I don't know if you guys ever knew about Calvin. I don't know if you guys ever had encountered Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin Hobbes was a comic strip. Very, very interesting, deep kind of a comic strip. Shlomo, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know. Maybe the Americans know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so Calvin and Hobbes was a favorite of mine. Anyway, Rav Tetz was giving a share once in South Africa, and he mentioned something out of Calvin and Hobbes. I don't know what it was. One of Calvin and Hobbes' dimyonis, I don't know. A sprigulator or something he used, this like ray gun that he used to use or whatever. And he used it as a marshal, and one of the women shouted out, "You read Calvin?" And I was like, "Yeah, oh, I got you. You see, I used a marshal that was mamish matim for my audience." That's right, I read Calvin. So that was it. He had the whole audience in the palm of his hand because he was using a marshal that connected them together. When you get up and you give a marshal that the balabatim that people understand and relate to business or whatever, and they think you're above it, but you're there with them. So they understand you because they connect you because you understand them. You understand where they're coming from. So that's very important. And he says, yeah, vata havin. It's very important that you understand this. I'm not sure what exactly he wants you to understand. Yeah, the whole thing, the whole story. Let's just see if he says anything here. Okay, so he brings here that Chovev Salavava says this is such a deep concept that it can only be understood properly with Kabbalistic background, with Kabbalistic knowledge. He brings some of the Noi Chalavavas. That's why he says Vahovin there. That you have to understand as well, because it's he's not going to continue speaking about it because he doesn't use Loshon HaKabbalah, but that's what he says. I don't know. Ani lo yodeh maze. The first time I've seen somebody say such a thing in the Chovev Salavavas, but it's not a surprise. Okay. So the seventh and final reason, that no reward and punish is mentioned. So the sixth reason, let's just summarize, is it's not mentioned because you have to use language that's relevant to the people that you're talking to. So when you have somebody like, what was his name? Yeshua ben Yotzadok, who was living with the Malachim. So then you could talk about walking and taking strides with angels, whatever. He knows what you're talking about. If you tell me that, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what an angel is. Anybody ever seen an angel here? It's not a thing with wings and a harp. That's for sure not what it is, okay? I don't know what it is, but it's definitely not that. So I don't know what it is. So you're going to start using Mishalim, talking about Malachim and Srafim, whatever. I'm lost. I haven't got a connection to that. But he did. So there the Torah does speak about Olam Haba in Olam Haba terms because he was holding there. But for the rest of us who are living in Olam Hazeh, the Torah has to use Olam Hazeh Dika Mishalim and points of reference. There is, I believe, I think I might have seen it years and years ago. I once spoke to Rav Tetz about this, that the reward and punishment that's brought down in Shema is very this worldly. So I think he quoted it to Yochan. I think we saw it inside. I'm going back over 30 years. There's a Kli Yochan, and don't ask me where it is. Maybe in Shema, in the Parsha of Shema there, probably that's where it is, where he discusses that those are all Olama Ba rewards and punishments. It's using Loshen of Olam Hazeh. If you do my ways, you'll get rain, you'll plant your wheat, you'll harvest, you'll everything will be fine in this world. But he says it's talking about next world, and he explains how it works. And Zochet, old story. If you want to look it up there, you'll see it'll complement this very nicely, I think, from what I remember.
Actually, it's interesting because in Borges, where it brings down Va'asavta de Ganecho, and is it Rabbi Yezer over there?
Rabbi Shmuel
and Rabbi Shmuel Yochai, and it comes down to the halacha that they learn out of there. You know, you do ishtadlus, you don't do ishtadlus. But normal people.
Talking about that.
Oh yeah.
This is a klal you need to know. Everything in the Torah is always, always also talking at the same time, and that's the ikka about the ruchnis dikapnim. In other words, avada, there's a lesson there about it'll rain in your times and you'll have a nice harvest and you have to make ishtadlus and not make ishtadlus and all the dinim there, avada. The Vishachaim discusses that machlokes at length. But there's a depth there which also has to be there. It's an amazing thing. Rav Lechter once pointed out. It was a big eye-opener for me, this. This was mamash luck. You'll think it's silly, but I'm telling you, for me, it was a major eye-opener in the middle of Corona. He said, even when you finished with all the pshatim in Breishis, you know, there's hundreds of pshatim in the word Breishis. There's a whole tikkun zoh on Breishis. There's a whole Kabbalistic library just on the word Breishis, yeah? But when you finished with all of that, Breishis just means Breishis. Breishis means Breishis. It might mean all those other things, but it doesn't stop at meaning Breishis. It means a six-year-old level doesn't go away. It still means Breishis. So Nachinami, those psukim mean what they mean, but there's a pnim to every posukim that there has to be. The Torah is describing a spiritual reality more than a physical reality. But the physical reality is, yeah, it's a reality. You can't deny it. But the same way as when you look at a tree, you want to see the spiritual reality of the tree. You want to use Shara Bechina to look at that tree and see the Chochmah of the Boira. You want to be Megalek Kovod Shemayim when you look at a tree. But it's a piece of wood. What do you mean Kovod Shemayim in a tree? No, you can go deeper. Because there's a Pnim there. But when you finish dealing with all the Kabbalistic understandings of what a tree is, at the end of the day, it's a piece of wood. Not only that, but it's for sure still that. So even though we don't metaple too much with the Nishtoris and Kabbalah, we need to know that there is Nishtoris and Kabbalah, even if we don't dabble with it. There's a deep reality. Same as you don't know what's going on under the hood of your car, but you better know that there's something under that hood. you might not know how to deal with it. You might not understand it, but you better know that there's something there. It's the same with this. Okay. The last reason, the seventh and final reason, Shlomo got lost. Why the Torah doesn't describe schar and onesh in Olam Haba, umehem. Shegmul Olam Haba, ein techliso ele lihidabek be'elokim ulizkarev el oira ha'elyoy. the Gmul Olam Haba, the reward that a person gets in Olam Haba, what's its purpose? Is specifically that we should be dovok, that we should cleave to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. La'anus Niziv Shechinosai, to get close to his burning radiant light, whatever that is. It says in Yeshaya, your righteous deeds will precede you, will go before you, and the glory of Hashem will gather you in. It states in the Pasuk in Daniel there, the wise will shine like the radiance of the firmament, whatever that means. Yazhiru kazoa harakia. Rakia means firmament. I don't know what that means. Zoa means shining radiance or whatever. So that's the that's what it's all about. To take the neshama out of the grave, out of the kever, to live in the light of life. You can only get to that closeness if Hashem wants you to be there. Obviously, a person has to have done what would make Hashem want him to be in that proximity to Hashem, that is Hanus Liziv Shkinos. I'm using the Lashon of the Ramchal. V'lo yagelav ele mi sherotza boirebo. Urotza na boire sherish hagmul. The rotzon of Hashem, meaning not the desire of Hashem, but means if you find favor in Hashem's eyes, that's the sheresh of all the reward, of all the gmul. All the reward in Olam Haba is the rotzon of Hashem, who finds favor in Hashem's eyes. The root of all the goodness is being drawn closer to Hashem. I mean, you have to find favor in Hashem's eyes. Moshe Kosev, Kirega Bapo Chaim Betzoinoi. It says his anger is just for a small moment, but life comes from his Chaim Betzoinoi. Betzoinoi doesn't mean so much desire. I mean, it means that, but it means more from him finding desire, finding favor in him. And obviously, the Pasuk is talking about life. It's talking about eternal life, not talking about life in this world. So he hasn't told us why this isn't written in the Torah. He's given us background, but he hasn't explained why this is the seventh reason why nothing's written. Let's see what he says now. It says in Parshas Bukhukoisa, Ramazim, hints, allusions, which indicate that the ultimate goodness will be given in the Torah is by finding favor in Hashem's eyes. Guma Shama, Velo Tigal Nafshi Eschem. My spirit won't reject you, it says. V'lo tigal nafshi eschem. My spirit, whatever that means, won't reject you. V'ama v'ponisi aleichem. When I turn toward you, all indications of finding favor in Hashem's eyes. V'ayis aleichem le'elokim v'atem tie li la'am. I'll be a God to you and you'll be my people. All about Hashem's desire for this relationship. But if he doesn't want the relationship, it doesn't matter what you're doing, it's not going to happen. So all the brachas, all the goodness in the world is about being close to Hashem through finding favor in Hashem's eyes. That's the sheresh of Olam Haba. And therefore the Torah doesn't have to describe it because I'm not sure why the Torah doesn't have to describe it. He's explained what it is. Beseder. But why the Torah shouldn't have to describe it He brings from the map and the nefesh, he says like this on this, because the Chovim Savor is not so clear what he means. He says, you don't need to say any more than if a person serves a Kodesh Baruch Hu out of true love, then Hashem will love him back, then Hashem will reward him by loving him and drawing him close to him, that he'll find favor in Hashem's eyes. You love Hashem, you serve Hashem because you love him. So obviously the Midah Keneged is going to be that Hashem will draw you close to him with love. That doesn't have to be spoken. That's obvious. The details and the different aspects of what that kenosis will look like and feel like or whatever, that's secondary. I can't go into details because of all the other reasons we mentioned before. So that's why those are left out. But the essence, that there's an essence, there's an olam haba, that you'll get reward, and that reward is kir v'selokim li toiv. The whole purpose of life, says David HaMelech, is kir v'selokim. That's only if you find favor in Hashem's eyes. It comes from his rotson. So that we know, that's poshut. The Torah doesn't have to explain that. And all the pratim and details, it can't, because of all the other reasons we've seen up to now. So that's how it brings it down here in the Mefoshim, and that's where we're up to over now. Okay, now we're going to speak about betochen. So we're still dealing with the level of, we're still in the subject, in the section. We have to stop soon. We're still dealing with the section of betochen as it relates to schar for the mitzvahs, schar in olam haba. He's explained why olam haba isn't described in the Torah. And now he goes back to the main subject of this section, which is how betochen applies in regard to reward for doing mitzvahs. How does a Jew who has betochen relate to his mitzvahs and getting reward for the mitzvahs and the betochen that's required in this particular tchum? That's going to be what we're going to deal with the Metz Hashem.
Can I just say, I was just looking at the Lev Tov, the last line of the Lev Tov, of that paragraph that you were reading before. He says, Im kein hare gam schara olam haba nizkar b'Torah. In other words, he's showing that over here, that Lamaisa, this last reason is that we were just saying why it doesn't talk about it in the Torah, but all these psukim and things that he's talking about over here, he's showing you see, there are ramazim and things, and that Lamaisa is spoken about. Is spoken about in the Torah, if you look in.
But only the essence of it, the pratim and the details and everything it can't talk about for the reasons we mentioned before.
Right, but to say that it's not mentioned, it actually is mentioned. In other words, correct. In Ramazim in general, I think that's the point.
Correct. Of this whole, 100%, 100%. Just 1 second. I'm just in the shelf. I'll only back in 2 minutes, okay? Yeah, in Achinami, 100%. 100%. By the way, in the one before, he also, you see that there also is a remez and a mention of Olam Haba to somebody who it was Shaykh to.
Yeah.
In the first five reasons he spoke about, well, it's not mentioned, it's never mentioned, it can't be mentioned. And then he brought down two reasons where he said actually is Ramazd. And by the way, that's a whole big chunk of Perek Achelik in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara goes through brings all the Ramazim and the Psukim and whatever where you see Torah brought down. In fact, if you learn like the Kli Yoka that I mentioned, if I'm correct, could be that I'm not correct, but if I'm correct, then the whole of Pasuk Kriyas Shema is only talking about Tzchar and Olam Haba. The Chovim Salvav goes with his Mahalach, probably not learning like the Kli Yoka. Unless you want to say the Torah is using as a marshal Olam Zeh Dika rewards, and we're supposed to understand that in Ruchnis Dika terms. Each person, according to his level of extrapolation, will be able to extrapolate that into what's a Ruchnis Dika as much as we can. We have no way of connecting to what's a neshama without a goof and what delights the neshama that doesn't have a goof. Maybe we haven't got any clue what that is. But a person may be able to. You have a special moment at the Kaisel, let's say, or for example, on a Shabbos, you have a real Kirvas Elokim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you feel elevated, you feel Kirvas Elokim. So that you could use as a stepping stone to try and understand a little bit of what the Kirvas Elokim must look like in Olam Haba, where there's nothing interfering. You know, there is what to Madame Yem based on experiences that a person's had. But that's very personal. You can't write, each person's going to connect to that the way it connects to it. Anyway, Metz Hashem, next week we'll carry on in the Betochen dealing with the Schar in Olam Haba. Now that we've explained why it's not written in the Torah, or where it is written in the Torah, we'll now understand what the Betochen is necessary in these areas and why you need betochen or what betochen is and how it functions in this area. Okay, I'm sorry, I have to run. I just it's over the past 9:30. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll meet back tomorrow.
Thank you.
Take good care. Have a good evening.